Well, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. John Hunt had been raised loosely in the faith. As an infant, he was baptized into the Church of England, and when old enough, he was sent by his mother to Sunday school and eventually to confirmation classes. But even so, at a young age, John fell into unbelief, and later he declared himself to be an atheist, that is, someone who rejects even the idea of God. To trust and believe in God is a foolish thing for an atheist. So John stopped attending classes, and he stopped attending worship without much fight from his mother. And so then you fast forward some 40 years later when John was about 50 years old. At that point, simply not attending church any longer, simply proclaiming himself to be an atheist, proclaiming unbelief, for some reason at that point in his life, wasn't quite good enough. He wanted to sever himself completely from the Church of England and completely from the Christian faith in general, and so he took every step he possibly could to do that, and there was one hurdle, though, that he wanted to get over, and that was to have his name stricken from the church records. And so he went to his local church in the Church of England and asked that his name would be removed even from the baptismal registry, that they would take his name off there, somehow representing that he was unbaptized or debaptized. He wanted his name completely off. But the church simply would not do as he requested. Their argument was that you just can't delete history. You can't pretend that you weren't ever baptized. Eventually, an organization called the National Secular Society, which is, I believe, an organization just of atheists and freethinkers, made up and issued their own document for John that they called a Certificate of Debaptism. And in the certificate, a person basically states that he publicly revokes all the implications that come with baptism, including the washing away of your sin, your original sin as a child, membership in the church, membership into the family of God. And it's said that John proudly hung this Certificate of Debaptism in his bathroom over the toilet. Sadly, John, the Englishman, clearly rejected his baptism long before a certificate of debaptism was ever issued to him. He rejected Christ. He rejected the cross. He rejected the resurrection, the forgiveness of his sins, everlasting life. All these he rejected long before a certificate was issued. He did not believe. Unbelief, the rejection of the good news of Jesus Christ for sinners, or as Paul puts it in Romans today, a disobedience to God, does not need a certificate. Now, in some churches, even Lutheran churches, when somebody is preaching on baptism or when they're doing a baptism, you can get the feeling that maybe there's this belief that once you're baptized, you are set for life. You don't need to do anything else. You don't need to attend church. Once you're baptized, you're saved. You can go live your life how you want. And if I've ever given that implication to you, I'm sorry. That's not the intention. Because did you know that you can reject your baptism. In other words, you can do the opposite of what confirmation is intended to do. Confirmation, when our kids sit here, it's also called the rite of affirmation, where we say yes to what God has done for us in our baptism. Just as you can say yes to what God has done for you in baptism, you can also say no. You can reject it. You can despise the promises, the benefits that God has given to you. And it's a sorrowful thing to say that our world, and especially our nation, is full of people who have done exactly this. However, many of them have come to their rejection much more quietly than John did. And they've probably even reached their state of rejection of their baptism, of the promises of God, perhaps without even giving it much thought. Maybe it was a certain lifestyle or a particular desire to live a life that does not do honor to God and breaks the commandments, and so they pulled them out of the church. When I think of this kind of thing, I think of some of my friends from high school who, upon going off to college, became absorbed in certain lifestyles, the lifestyle that is often associated with fraternities or sororities or things like that, and then once again never darken the doors of a church ever again. Or I think of those people who have become so busy in life and consistently prioritize things, even good things, over Sunday school or worship, and simply fall away. Jesus warned us of these things, though. He warned us that there would be seed that is sown and planted on the path where birds can pluck it away. And He warned us that there would be seed that would be scattered on rocky ground and have no depth to it. He warned us that there would be seed that would be sown amongst the thorns and the weeds and would be choked out. Jesus warned us that the cares and riches of this world, that times of trouble or persecution, would choke away faith in people, even cause a person to reject what God has done for them, and so commit to the sin of unbelief. You and I can at any time reject our baptism, the promises that God has given to us in the waters. Though we might never get to a point where we say it as plainly as John the Englishman. But in our short reading from Romans, we have a gem of comfort, a gem of hope, a gem of promise as well. And we see this in verse 29 where Paul says, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." No matter what you have done, no matter how far away you have slipped or fallen, the gift of the Lord, His promises, the call of the Word of God, which says that all who believe and are baptized will be saved, and that God desires to be merciful to all, that promise remains. You might reject it, but that promise dangles out in front of you. And this morning I was thinking of Linda when I thought of this. I thought, you know, Linda's always offering us bars, Kuchen, all this kind of stuff, and sometimes I just gotta say no, you know, otherwise my shirts won't fit anymore, Linda. But I know that the promise of those bars are always there. I could go to Linda's house at any point, and I know that there would be Kuchen within a matter of seconds. There would be bars in a matter of seconds. The things would be there. And This is true of many of you. I know it. I can reject that bar and not receive the benefits of eating that tasty goodness, but it is always there for me to go back to and grab onto and consume and receive those beautiful, tasty treats. This is what baptism is. Because what God has proclaimed, He does not regret. What God has promised, He does not revoke. It doesn't matter if you have written up your own certificate of debaptism and placed it in the bathroom in the highest place of honor over the toilet. The promise of God given to you in baptism still remains and is still there, waiting for even the most wayward person to return to the Lord and grab hold of it. Grasp on to the promise of God with hands of faith. This is why we keep coming to church, because this promise is always here and we can continue to receive it. And this morning we are blessed even to consume that promise in the Holy Supper. Let us pray. O gracious Lord, work in us faith to continue to grab on to the promises that you have given us and to receive the benefits of life in your name, the forgiveness of sins, a clean heart, a renewed life each and every morning. We pray, O Lord, that you would continue to find us to be fertile soil, where your seed has been planted and can grow well. And we pray too now, Lord, that you would nourish us with your word, nourish us with the Holy Sacrament, as we receive your body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. We pray this in your name. Amen.